Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the BBL show featuring NJ Chat with Nikita and Jewel. I'm Nikita.
And I'm Jewel.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again. Today's episode is going to be the second part of Wednesday, Season 2, Episodes 5 through 8. It was so far. I'm super excited. I might be sounding like I'm talking really fast because I'm super excited. It was really, really well done. This is going to be, also, by the way, spoilers. I want to say this at the beginning, spoilers. So if you haven't watched it, go ahead and turn this off and come back to it and check us out. We are going to be breaking down all of the last four episodes of what, and there's a lot to be put in this one. I think it's very exciting. I'm very excited. I hope everyone else is very excited. I hope you're excited, Jewel. Jewel and I host the BBOL show, and we have segments. And we also have presented a new segment called The Rewind, where we do wind backs of everything we're watching, everything we're seeing, everything we're going to be seeing. And we hope that you all like that. Check out our website for that. Check out Spotify and all of the new, yeah, check out everything that everyone might be talking about. So let's get started. On September 3rd, they came out with the new episodes of Wednesday, and there were four episodes. And they were really, really good, by the way. Hide and woe seek, woe thyself, woe me the money, and this means woe. And I'm sure Jewel will go through all of those as she does. I want to hear you all, let you all hear what she has to say, because it's always kind of exciting when she brings us into the episodes and gives her opinion and what she saw, and then we just get the topic going. Jewel, what do you think?
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, and good night. What do I think? Wednesday. Wednesday's child is a child of woe. So this is season two, as Nikita said. Thank you so much, Nikita, and thank you everyone for listening. Thank you for joining. And whether you're here for 5 minutes, 15, or the duration, whether you're listening in from other podcast places, we appreciate that you're here listening to us. Okay, Woe Thyself is, we're going episode 5, 6, 7, 8, Hide and Woe Seek is episode 5. Woe Thyself is episode 6. Woe Me the Money. And that's episode 7. And This Means Woe is episode 8. Tim Burton directed episode 8, episode 7. And we dive right into the cliffhanger of the initial half of season 2. And we have Wednesday Adams in a coma, where she had been thrown out of a window from the insane asylum by the Hyde. And we know that the cast that have decided to come back, or the characters that are coming back, is Tyler Galpin. Tyler Galpin is the Hyde. He's the boy that attended the Academy, Nevermore Academy, and he escaped the asylum from last we were here. We also have Catherine Zeta-Jones as Morticia. We have Luis Gomez as Gomez Adams. We have Isaac Ordonez as Pugsley Adams. Obviously, Jenna Ortega as Wednesday. And a big giant player for the next few episodes, obviously, is Emma Myers, Enid Sinclair, her intrepid, very colorful, flamboyant roommate, who's the werewolf, and a host of other players as we continue with this episode. So again, she's been thrown out of a window from our cliffhanger from last half of season 2, episode 4, and we weren't sure whether she was okay. She was in a coma, and she wakes up, and you'll never guess who is at her bedside after her mom and dad leave. Her mom and dad are kind of sad that they are there, but they figure if anybody can pull through, she can. Well, They leave, and Gwendolyn Christie, our old principal, Larissa Weems, is standing there ready to take care of Wednesday, and Wednesday thinks she's in a dream. We know now that Wednesday obviously is still without her powers because she overused them, her psychic ability, and Weems is going to be helping her along the way, guiding her on her path and her journey. This episode was really a really great one because we get to see back and forth the feeling of failure between what she wanted to accomplish and what she was unable to accomplish. And Wednesday is very headstrong. She believes she can do it all herself. And that's why she ended up into this predicament, right? We have an interesting ending where we have Tyler and Enid in this battle for Wednesday's attention. Wednesday is focused on making sure Enid doesn't die because there's a premonition that she's going to die. Tyler's at the hospital when she wakes up, lets her know that tonight's the night I'm taking your friend and you're not going to be able to stop me. Enid has decided, no, you're not going to do this alone, and you're going to confess. I'm sick and tired of having to fight for being your best friend when we're in this together. And sure enough, they end up in a battle, and Enid starts turning into a werewolf without a full moon. Nikita, that's Hide and Woe Seek. What did you think about this first episode? Did you like it? Was it worth the coming back from the cliffhanger from episode 4?
It was excellent. I mean, seriously, when I first started watching it, you know how sometimes you have to wait for something and then there's a big letdown? It met all expectations. I thought it was an excellent beginning for the next part. And I like that they're breaking it down this way, which, you know, when she wakes up and then she finds out Principal Weems is, you know, going to be her person. I think that all of that worked out really well. And BT Dubs, I said that Enid was an alpha. Now, I thought it was interesting how they presented the alpha here. You know, when you think about alpha and werewolves and things, we haven't gotten to that part yet, but we will, because I just want to say I'm so excited about that. So, yes, I did like it. Yes, I did like it. I liked it a lot. And I liked Principal Weems' character. And I like that we find out that, you know, she's her spirit guide and she's her 13 cousin twice removed, because the spirit guide has to be a familial member. I said, oops, surprise. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's pretty dope. I like how they did it all, how they introduced this to it all. Not even a drop. It was, you know, there's no lull. It's instantly getting into it, getting into the character, seeing Wednesday as this person who is still, you know, very focused on getting Tyler, on getting the Hide, on saving her friend's life. This is a little bit of humanity for Wednesday. Although, you know, she never smiles, but it's kind of an internal empathy. I'm sure if someone told her she was empathetic, she'd be beside herself. So I like how they're introducing the family of the Hide, and then you're finding out who the people are. You know, when the sheriff comes and shows that there are three people wanted. Fester, Uncle Fester is one. Of course, they're never going to find Uncle Fester. John Doe, who we know is Slurp, who now we know is the person that was known as 1938. We're going to find out that's her brother. And then Tyler Galpin, who is the Hide. And I think it's also interesting. And I also think that you're starting to get this outline on this story of the Hide has to have master. And you're seeing how masterfully they're showing that he can't control himself without a master, and how he's trying to control his change and control his anger and his temperament. Wednesday does not fear him at all. Wednesday is hunting him. so that she can become his master, which I think would be mistress, right? So she finds out the information about the hide and that, you know, they can't survive without a master. At least the males can't. And the women hide are stronger. This is where we get a hint that, hey, this person that was in the hospital that she saved, 1938, there's more to her than we know. And she's just as ugly as her son when she turns into the hide. So I was like, ew. Okay. So you're looking at this and you're getting this storyline and it's kind of like bringing you in to what's going on. And that's super, super cool. I think when we're watching this, I don't want to say this. I'm someone who likes good, clean movies. I'm an adult. I like adult themes. But when you're watching something like The Addams Family, which, like, you know, for many people who grew up with The Addams Family, this is what I'm talking about. This is a family style show. This is one for the generation, even though The Hide might scare some kids. I'm not sure. But it's clean, right? And it's a good storyline, and it makes you want more. And not only that, it's got cool special effects and, you know, cool outfits and very hip for this time. Like everyone could kind of relate in this time. Mothers can relate with their daughters. Fathers can relate with their sons. Kids can relate how they feel like their families are like, you know, mom and dad stuff. We can all relate to that. We have one kid trying to protect her mom. We have one kid fighting against her mom. And we have other kids that don't even really see their family. So all these dynamics are going on in here. I believe Hide and Go Seek was a great beginning, a great intro, a great, timeline into it. So I would be remiss if I didn't bring up in the previous one, I told you all who everyone was, the cast, you know, and we have the same cast, but we have some additions. We have Lady Gaga. We have Frances O'Connor. And I said the last time you wouldn't see her when she wasn't in the first episodes. She's in this one, though. And I think you're going to love when you find out who she is in this one and how important she is to the character. So I'm going to go ahead and let Jewel bring us into the next episodes. Jewel?
Thank you. Thank you. I want to thank you for that segue in terms of family dynamics, because before we enter Woe Thyself with It, which is episode 6 in Hide and Woe Seek, you're absolutely right. We have the ability for the entire family to enjoy it. And they have Outcast Day of Remembrance, or the Day of the Dead. And the town is going to have a Pilgrim World celebration of Day of the Dead. And we know that Pugsley, remember, he brought this zombie to life, and the zombie did a bunch of damage. And we also have this background fight between Gomez in the family of not fitting in. And we had a little foreshadowing in the car that I wonder why you didn't. It's a shame that you didn't have any outcast powers, Pugsley says to his dad. And his dad knows what it's like to not feel quite fitting in. And they go to Pilgrim World. And there's an opportunity to catch Slurp, the zombie. And Pugsley decides to let him go. But before Pugsley lets him go, Gomez sees him. Gomez sees him. They look at each other. They have a moment. And Gomez knows exactly who the zombie is. And also lets him go. And I say that because we have a young man trying to turn into a teenager, and he's not fitting in well at school. And we have Gomez, who doesn't feel quite like the outcast, like other outcasts. And we have, thank you so much, Nikita, when we're talking about mother-daughter dynamics, we still have Bianca and her mom as a siren, as an issue. She's now the caretaker of her mom and wanting to protect her mom. And we have Morticia and Mama, and they are always arguing. And then we have the hide, right? We have Tyler's mom. We know that she's a mama hide, and she has to become Tyler's mom, and not just mom, but his master. And so we have a kid that doesn't want to be ruled by anyone because he's quite literally a hide. And he killed Christina Ricci, who was trying to act like his mom before, right? So we have that dynamic. And we have Wednesday constantly fighting with her mom of, you, I get to do what I want, and Morticia wanting to be protective, right? So we have all these dynamics of parents and who's helping who. And we go into Woe Thyself, which, thank you, Nikita, what a wonderful segue that is, because the name is Woe Thyself, you know thyself. Tyler and Francois reunite with Isaac. Francois is the name of Tyler's mom. And we learn in the last episode, Hide and Woe Seek, that she too is a hide. And she was the lady being held in one of the cages of the outcast down below. And we also know that Isaac Knight is Slurp. So we have a name for the zombie now. Okay. Isaac is the clock heart gentleman that ran the experiments up top. And he's a Da Vinci. We've had werewolves. We've had gorgons. We've had hides. And Da Vinci's are great mind inventors, but also they have telekinesis, not telepathy, telekinesis. And so that's the ability to pick things up with your mind and move things around without having to touch it. And so he's a Da Vinci, and he's very, very, very smart. And he was Francois' brother. So if we're all trying to get familial, Tyler's uncle is the zombie. Tyler's mom is the mama hide. His mom and his uncle were outcasts and went to Nevermore when they were younger. And we learn the story early on now that they were friends with Morticia and Gomez. Okay. And we understand that there was a problem. There was a problem, and we don't know what that is yet, because we just know at the end of Hide and Woe Seek that Gomez knows who Isaac is. Like, we know that because of the glance that was exchanged. Now, Wednesday's very upset, and she wants her powers back. She's tired of going half blind. She doesn't like the fact that she was harmed in this exchange. She tried to get the Nightshades to help and catch Tyler. It failed because she didn't expect the second hide. She didn't expect Mama Hide. And now Principal Dort, Steve Buscemi, is very upset because now Enid, who's supposedly the nice kid, is involved. And we have Enid and we have Wednesday in the office because they were trying to do shenanigans, and it would have worked perfectly had another hide not shown up. And so now Morticia and Gomez have to have a discussion because they think that Isaac is, he tells Morticia Isaac is back and that's who Slurp is. And Morticia's like, well, I got something else to tell you. Mama Hyde is back too. We are in big, deep stuff right now. And Wednesday goes to Grandmama and says, I need to be able to fix this. I need to be able to find a way to get my powers back. And her grandmother says, well, you can go to this old raven and ask for her help and ask for her guidance, because she can tell you who the dead is and whether or not you can do something. And in doing so, she is told that she has to, you know, touch a gravesite. She meets Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga is this raven, a ghostly raven. And she's told that you have to do what the raven says, or if you don't, if you fail, a trick will be played upon you. And she tries to do it, and Enid is very upset because once again, she goes alone, and Enid wants to help. And we know at the end of the fifth episode that Enid turns into a werewolf without it being a full moon, and she's an alpha. Nikita nailed it. She got it. It was absolutely right. And in going this night to confront Wednesday for going by herself, Wednesday's supposed to say this incantation, not remove her hand, and be allowed to see the vision that she needs to figure this out. Enid breaks the chain and stops her from doing what she was supposed to do, thinking that she was going to solve things and argue. And the most hilarious thing happens as they wake up in their room and Enid is very upset, staring at the mirror, wondering why she feels warm and fuzzy and colorful, and realizes, oh, well, this is unexpected and most unpleasant. And Wednesday gets up squealing and screaming and chattering and whining, and she is just not being herself at all. And we find out, much to Thing's chagrin, they have swapped bodies. And this is the trick that Lady Gaga's ghost is playing on them. And they must live a day in each other's shoes. Enid is in Wednesday's body. Wednesday is in Enid's body. And they are just going to have to suffer through it and figure out solve the problem before sunset, or else they're doomed. Both of them are doomed. This one was interesting to me because I thought it was hilarious. It was funny. It showed the dynamic range that both of these young ladies, phenomenal actresses, have, because they were both able to just slip into the role of Enid's care. Actress was able to play Wednesday without a hitch. I believed it completely. Emma Myers, I believe she was Wednesday, and I believe Jenna Ortega was Enid. So I thought that was brilliant. What I did not believe and I did not like was Morticia never realized it. Like, I was like, what kind of mama? You're acting like you're so protective. But she did not catch on. And I guess she's distracted because Francois, her friend, and Isaac Gomez's friend are back, and back from the dead, because the sheriff is like, no way that's her. I went to her funeral and everybody thought Francois was dead, Tyler's mom. And obviously everybody thought that Slurp Isaac Knight was also dead. So everybody's distracted, and Enid and Wednesday have to go through this struggle of being in the wrong body whilst also trying to figure out how to stop the shenanigans that are happening. Enid's life is still in danger. Tyler is still out there. There's now a mama hide, and we don't know what's going to happen with that. Slurp is missing. And what happens to little invisible girl Agnes? She's being the dutiful stalker, and now she's really confused because Wednesday is smiling. Wednesday is not all hateful and antagonistic, but she is in a weird way. And that's how you know this girl really is a stalker, because she knew before Morticia knew, and Morticia's her mama. Like, what kind of creepy, weird thing is that? I thought that was interesting. And she also jumps into being a better detective and grows into her own capabilities. Remember, she's an invisible girl. And we see in this one that she and Thing are going through an identity crisis. And actually, if you think of all of it, everybody's going through an identity crisis in Woe Thyself, which I guess that's the term, right? Know Thyself. We have Gomez, who's the outcast who has no powers. We have Morticia, who is all of a sudden, we realize, is holding this big secret. And so she's not being forthcoming, and she has to play this role. We have Enid as Wednesday. Wednesday's Enid. And stalker girl Agnes doesn't know who she should stalk anymore because no one is being themselves. And she just feels so lost. But she never had an identity anyway, because all it was trying to be a duplicate of Wednesday. And Thing is just a hand. He don't know where he come from. He don't know what his other hand is. He don't know what his face looks like. Nobody appreciates him. He's just very, very lost. So they end up going to Professor Orloff's. He's the head. That's Christopher. Oh Lord, I forgot his name. The professor that was also Fester, I will remember his name shortly. Forgive me, I'm a big, big fan, but I completely forgot his name, the last name. But they show up to his parts are bigger than the sum of their parts, and you don't have to have an entire body to be who you are. And although it was hilarious, the whole thing was funny. You had eyeballs, you had a leg, you know, you had he's a head, thing is a hand. And Enid said, everybody's welcome. And he said, yes, you may show up. And I love that, because think of how many of us, myself included, walk around in this world as if you're missing a piece of who you feel you are, or who you wish you were, or as if you don't belong, so you're not complete. There's so many moments in life where you just walk around and you're just ambulating, you know, you're just ahead. You're just this next project. You're just the taxi driver. You're just the bookkeeper. You're just the maid, or you're just whatever it is at the moment. You're not a full person. At least you don't feel so, or you feel really hovering around like you're not solid. And it's supposed to be funny. It really is. But she's invisible. The Christopher Lloyd, thank you so much. Thank you. The best friend looking out, bagging me up back there. Thank you so much. Christopher Lloyd. Thank you. Phenomenal actor. Also was Fester. Back to the Future. You know, mad scientist. Great sci-fi individual. Thank you. Nikita for helping out in the background. You walk around feeling like you're not a full person. And Agnes is having this identity crisis. She cannot stalk this person anymore because this person doesn't even seem like themselves. And who am I? And she gets welcomed. They all feel welcome. Christopher Lloyd's character, Professor Olaf, is like, you don't have to have your stuff together, man. You really don't have to be all there to be all there. You could be ever present in just the way you are. You could just be the hand. You just be the foot. You can just be the eyeballs today. Okay. That is just as spectacular as if you were a whole person walking around with everything going perfectly. And everybody's giggling. It's hilarious. It's wonderful. But I think what a beautiful message, particularly since the theme throughout the entire show and all of the Addams Family stands for those that never felt like they fit in normal society, because they are the abnormals. And they call everyone else normies, but they're the outcasts, right? So she leaves, but she feels so grateful. And she has something else she wants to ask. And when she comes back, Slurp, Isaac Knight, is interrogating Professor Orloff and is there for a battery. He has an unfinished duty that he wants to do. And we find out that he was trying to cure Francois, his sister, from being a Hyde. And that's what the lab was for. The lab was to try and get her to no longer be a Hyde. Now, remember, the lab and all the shenanigans from season one, where they were figuring out how to remove outcast abilities from outcasts. Well, it turns out it was because Isaac wanted to cure his sister. It wasn't that they were trying to rob the powers and give it to normies so that they could be some sort of super mutant. It was to cure his sister. Now, how he went about it, we're going to find out soon. But here is where Christopher Lloyd, Professor Orloff, meets his demise, because he just ahead, and in ahead, you got brains. And well, Isaac is a zombie and he ate his brains and he's no longer with us. And that's very sad. And Agnes sees all of this and goes invisible. And in that moment, she has now created an identity for herself, because she's scared, she is brave, but she continues to follow the trail of who is this and who just harmed my mentor of like 15 seconds. I could not believe it. She was so sad, but that didn't stop her. She followed the trail, and we move into This Means Woe, and woo, everything's on fire. Nikita, thank you for bailing me out. Christopher Lloyd, the next episode. What about this episode? What did you think about this episode?
This episode was really, really good. And I think with this episode, which brings us into all that's going to be happening later on, this means, whoa, I think you broke it down really excellently. And I'm like thinking to myself, everything, we find out the past, we find out the present, and we get a kind of insight into what the future is going to be, right? For Enid, for possibly Agnes. Agnes is going through, I think, an emotional situation. I looked at her differently here in this episode, and I want to, in this season, portion of the season, I'll say, and I want to give her props. I want to give the young lady playing the character, Evie Templeton, and she plays Agnes DeMille, the invisible girl. She absolutely encompass what it is to be a young girl trying to find her way in a new school. She's trying to make friends. She attaches to Wednesday. She wants to fit in. You know, Enid doesn't like her because it's kind of creepy that she disappears all the time and shows up. Wednesday is kind of using her, but in the end, they become their own tribe, right? They become a pack. And she finds herself. And that's kind of like what kids do, right? Growing up and becoming more. And the young lady playing her, the whole time before I was like, invisible girl. Well, she deserves her name, which is Agnes in the show. I hope she becomes a regular for the next season, which has already been approved. And I want to give some other folks a shout out. Lady Gaga playing Rosaline Rotwood. Gwendolyn Christie is Larissa Weems, which we knew from season one. Glad to see her back in this season. Joy Sunday did very well in this one. She is Bianca Barclay. Her role comes up because there are a lot of things happening. Wednesday is having an issue. Joy Sunday is having an issue. Agnes is having an issue. Enid is having an issue. And Thing is having an issue. Everybody's having an issue. All of these things are happening at the same time while we're planning for this big gala event to occur. This particular episode leads us all into it. And we also find out about Steve Buscemi's character, Professor Dort, what kind of person he really is. I knew he wasn't a good guy. I just knew it. And of course, that gets verified. And I think that Jewel did an excellent job breaking that down and bringing us into with this means well. And I think when we are kids and someone's trying to help us, we just want to do it ourselves. Sometimes adults are like that, right? And Enid feels some kind of way when they switch body and she finds out, you know, Wednesday's secrets. Well, Wednesday finds out Enid's secret. Wednesday finds out that Enid is an alpha. That carries with it its own scariness, you know, and each one of them has their secrets. But if they don't get out of this body shifting thing that's happening, they're going to die. I think that for these two young ladies, this is a moment of, are we friends? Are you just using me? Do you not see me? In reality, when they wear each other's skin, they see each other. And I think that's what brings them more close or closer. Of course, Wednesday won't show that, but we know that by her actions. She's one of those people that even though she says, you know, I don't like this and I don't like that, secretly she cares. You know, she cares about her mom, but her mom gets on her nerves. She loves her family. You know, what kid's mom doesn't get on their nerves? But, you know, they're having this teenage angst tug of war thing. The mother's trying to understand the daughter. And it's also generational because the mom also has a problem with her mom. All of these characters, I think it all comes into big, big play in episode 7, which is Woe Me the Money. This is before we get to the end of the big gala and everything happening all at once. I really enjoyed episode 6, and I want to thank you for that, Jewel, for your great summation. It was excellent and encompassed everything that I felt, except for this particular point. I feel that Agnes is coming into herself, and I don't think she's a stalker so much anymore, and she cares and she really, really wants to be their friends, but she doesn't know who she is, and she starts to realize, even in that little group meeting with the body parts, which was bananas, even that group meeting, she starts to realize, I don't know who I am. I don't know that they're really my friends. I want to be friends with them. Let me be myself. This becomes more into play as her and Enid have a conversation, because she knew who Wednesday was. I don't know so much if it was, she admires Wednesday. She admires that she's the popular one. She admires that she's in charge. She admires that she's independent. And she really is getting to know these girls. Believe it or not, both of these girls. Jewel?
No, I agree. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. You're absolutely right. Agnes is a force to be reckoned with. And hopefully she comes back for season three. We're into Woe Me the Money, and we get an origin story for Principal Dort, the fire starter who actually is the true leader of Morning Song, the cult that has Bianca and her mother Gabrielle captive, utilizing sirens and various other tactics of making sure that they can get money and pretty much do with people what they want to get their way. How he became principal, we're not exactly sure, but we do know that he is going to try and get even more and fortify his place in history by using Bianca Siren's ability on Grandma Frump, which is Grandmama, the mother of Morticia. And Bianca doesn't want to do it, but she does it anyway. Convinces Grandma Frump to show up and pretty much put in all of her fortune into the school. And if it goes into the school, the principal can then take it. Bianca's very heartbroken about this. Wednesday's not so convinced. Ajax and Bianca are really creating a bonding friendship. I really like where that is going. I like where that is going because for the first time we see Bianca from the beginning of season one to now being able to foster a friendship and not have to worry why they're doing it and whether or not these people are friends. And we know that Ajax is not here as a rebound. He really genuinely cares for his friend. And he wants to make sure that all of his friends are taken care of. He's not ignoring Enid and what's going on in the background. But right now, he knows the best place where he can be a friend is with Bianca and helping in that way. Wednesday figures it out. They have another match. I love when they do a fencing match. And she lets Bianca know, I know for a fact that you didn't think that I wouldn't know that you would roll up on over here and use your powers and intimidate and manipulate and think that you could just get away with it. Because my grandmother is cheap and she would never be paying for nothing. And Bianca confesses everything and then rips off her control necklace and sirens her into lapse of memory, wipes her memory clean. But Wednesday already knew this was happening. And Agnes, she says, show yourself, Agnes. And Agnes said, it was exactly like you said. You knew she was going to do that. Oh, my gosh. Everything you already knew, you knew. She did it. She doesn't want to do it. She's being forced by Principal Dort. He's a scumbucket. And everybody in the audience watching, including you listeners, I'm certain, and Nikita and I are going, boo, tomato, tomato. We already knew you were just scum. And we don't like you. And so that's how we felt. This is the ending of Woe Me the Money. It really is just a buildup of that. And we get to the ball. That is a really wonderful thing because you're building up to this gala that we think is going to leave all of Wednesday's family pretty much destitute because Grandma Frump is not an Adams. She's a Frump. Morticia is a Frump. Married into the Adams, and Grandma Frump confesses that she cannot stand Gomez. She has never liked him because he's not worthy of her daughter, because what kind of outcast ain't got nothing? Like, look at you. You're just standing there looking like a nothing. And Wednesday gets very upset about the whole thing. And she hates being distracted. She wanted to get this Tyler Hyde thing, and now somebody's trying to go after her family. And that's just horrible. So at this gala, she makes sure that everyone plays their part properly. And in this moment, we see that Enid has made up with Agnes. Agnes is now herself and no longer just a stalker. She is a friend. And Bianca gets to break free. And Siren's Dort at the gala and says, confess, tell him everything, how we all got here. And he says it because he can't help it. Because Agnes with Wednesday have gone in, grabbed his locket, golden watch that has the abalone magic shell that protects from Siren Song away from him. And we now know that it was all a ploy and he was the leader of the cult. And Wednesday says at the end, okay, good job, everybody. Claps all around. Fine. And then goes to Grandma and says, not so fast. I don't like the fact that you clowning my dad. My dad is a great guy. And you're just being a jerk face potato salad with raisins. I mean, she white. I mean, look at her. And she says, you are going to donate everything you said you was going to donate anyway. And you're going to do it in his name and in his honor because I said so. And I thought, that's mighty white of you, Wednesday. Because I know I would have died. And I know people in my circles would have died had they done that to Grandma. But Big Mama, are you kidding me? Okay. But she cackles it off, thinks, yay, you know, a raven under my own heart. That's a wonderful thing. And she agrees. And that Woe Me the Money was really based on chains that bind us and why we end up doing what we do and how unfortunate things play out. Usually not because we want it to work out that way, but we feel forced in a direction or in another direction. It was pretty great. It's magnificent in seeing all the spectacular things. It was very, very pretty, very, very gala-esque. From Woe Me the Money, we go into This Means Woe. This Means Woe, that's the last episode for this season. We have 8 episodes. And this is where Wednesday learns that her dad was never always an outcast with no powers. We have a reckoning. We have a moment. Principal Weems shows up and says, if you want to save the people in your life that keep getting into danger, because remember, we start off with a premonition, and what starts off with this cascading effect of Wednesday just going through her shenanigans is she's afraid Enid is going to die, and Enid is going to die because of her. And every time she seems to try and fix that one premonition, she kind of sort of band-aids it, MacGyvers it. Nah, shout out to the whole show. She tries to duct tape it into place. Someone else that she loves then is in the bullseye, in the target seat. And so right now we have, at the end of Woe Me the Money, we have Pugsley has been stolen. He's been kidnapped, and he was kidnapped by Isaac Knight, Francois's brother. And we are at the beginning of, we are at the beginning of This Means Woe. And we have Morticia, Grandma Frump, and we have Wednesday sitting at a seance, because Weems has said that in order to save everybody, we need to.
How are you, everyone? You had a little bit of technical difficulties, and we are back online. So thank you so much for that, Jewel. The show must go on, as they said. So I love how you break down all of these episodes. I love what you said about Will Me the Money. And all right, so this means well. The final episode, at the end of the day, the final episode was super hot and super great. And I think really, really, really put everything into perspective. We get to find out all of the secrets. And, you know, when you find out people have secrets, sometimes they let you down. Would this have all happened if Wednesday had known about, you know, her mother and father, what happened to them in school? Would this have all happened if Tyler had known where his mother was? Would this have all happened if Morticia had gotten along with her mom and in the situation with her sister? There's so many things being tied up. I think Enid becoming an alpha is just, and let's give props to the design of the werewolf. The werewolf was fire. Look like a real werewolf. I was super excited about it. Also, Joy Sunday, her character, Bianca, does a brilliant job in having to play this targeted, you know, minority in this school. Crispa Dork is a manipulator and a very, very bad guy. And I think she played that very well, and all of the nightshades coming to help, so to speak, for this all to occur, to help her and help her mom. I really, really, really love how they took Principal Dort. Everyone was fooled by him, the audience included. I mean, you knew something was up, but you didn't know what was really up. You didn't know how he got the sirens, you know, a tool to stop the sirens. We didn't know how he was able to, you know for sure that he was going to be able to manipulate this school. And then we get to see his power, too, this little firepower that he has for this finger. We saw shades of it in the very beginning, but now we're seeing more. And I thought, that man, they put that together so well. They answered so many questions. So many questions. They even answered the question about Thing. And I think they did that so well. And I kind of chuckled when it said, Isaac Knight, Thing. If anyone remembers the Thing movie, this is kind of like a classic. I said, oh my gosh, they pulled that together in such a tight way. And I love the gala. That dance, the dead dance Lady Gaga did was brilliant. With Agnes doing the invisible thing and everything, they pulled that off seamlessly. I don't know how many hours they had to practice that, probably a lot, but they pulled that off so well. Enid and Agnes doing that dance while all of these things were going on, went perfect with the soundtrack, by the way, while all of these motions, and if you get a chance, check online, look at the clips where it shows Wednesday moving through the crowd. It shows Bianca's eyes following her. It shows Agnes stealing, you know, the siren trinket. It shows the mom showing up. It shows when Bianca realizes what's going on. And at the same time, Enid is still doing her dance. And then her ex-boyfriend, he plays his part. I mean, I thought it was seamlessly edited, directed, and produced. Put it out there, and you could feel everything that was happening visually, emotionally, and through the music itself. I thought it was genius. I thought it was very, very well done. Once again, Tim Burton produced that episode. As a matter of fact, we would be remiss not to mention that we mentioned this in the first time, right? That Tim Burton directed the first four episodes, and he also in season one, by the way, and in season two, he directed four episodes: the first, fourth, seventh, and eighth. So the seventh and eighth were all Tim Burton, and you could tell his style, and it was brilliant, and it was excellent. And I was like, this is madness how good this is. And, you know, a lot of people would say, aren't you too old for this? You're never too old to have an imagination. You're never too old to dream. You're never too old to enjoy the things that you see that are so new and fresh. You know, I've been watching black and white, color, CGI, all of that. And the way that they did this episode, this season of Wednesday, did not disappoint. I kind of wish most productions would stay consistent in its quality. The quality was good. The timing was good. The production was good. The set was good. The actors were good. Everyone played their role brilliantly. And I was very, very impressed. Jewel?
Thank you so much. I was impressed too. This was, I'm just so happy that, thank you so much for always being willing to share and do this podcast with me and in the method that we do it. It really is wonderful to hear all the perspectives that we get to hear and to do something that we really, really love, because you're absolutely right. There's no age limit to the things that you love doing, reading, enjoying, imagination, blurdom, right? Whether you're 2 or 205, things that you enjoy never go out of style, never go out of season. This Means Woe, I really love the way they tied it up. I think we end up with a cliffhanger, a tiny little cliffhanger, maybe 2 or 3 little clips on the same peak. We have the grandma front donating to the school, but because the principal is gone, we also see that at the end of this, the kids are going home. It's summertime, but Agnes says nevermore is nevermore. So we are under the assumption that the outcast will no longer have a school. We also know that in this altercation after the gala, we have Gomez starting off in this montage and homage to the past. He was the battery for Isaac Knight's lab experiment to try and remove Francois's powers of the hide. And Francois is like, we'll do it again. We'll use Pugsley as a battery. But instead of Pugsley being used as a battery for making Francois normal, Francois insists that she wants her son to be normal. She doesn't want Tyler to be a hide anymore. And in removing that as information, Tyler feels hurt and harmed by his mom. And once again, we have a master mommy figure, mom betraying him. And this time, this is twice, because for him, he thought his mom had died. And that was a betrayal in and of itself. And then Christina Ricci was like his mom, and she just used him and didn't care. And so he broke those chains. And now his mom, Francois, is his master. And he takes her out when they save Pugsley. Wednesday, Morticia and Gomez have a discussion and say that, yes, Thing is Isaac Knight's hand, right hand. We knew that all along, but because he didn't remember who he was and we didn't want him to be burdened by the harm of what that person was trying to do to us, and we were actually friends initially, we gave Thing a chance on its own. Isaac Knight attaches Thing back to his hand, or at least tries to, and Pugsley's being used as a battery. Francois gets Isaac to put him into chains and shackles. Morticia and Wednesday show up, free Pugsley. And in this moment where she has the ability to kill and get rid of Tyler, she does not. Instead, she breaks his bindings and unshackles him, allowing him to go after whomever he wants. And so he goes after his mom. They fight. Gomez finally gets up there. They all fight with Isaac, and they realize they don't have to fight with him because Thing is in there, and Thing is autonomous, and he is his own little person in this little hand, and he takes the owner of the body out, and we are left with questions of, will Gomez ever get his powers back, or can he be can he be loved and embraced for who he is now? Because just because things happen to us over time and we are different from our circumstances and what life has put us through, does that make us any less of a person, any less of a valuable member of society? When she embraces her dad and her mom with open arms, but is not happy because in order to be saved, when Isaac stole Pugsley, she was buried alive and Agnes was the only one to know, and Agnes ran to go get help, and the one person to help is her best friend, and that's Enid. It is a moment where she should not be transformed, because if she transforms out in the open during this full moon as an alpha, she'll stay an alpha with the whole power of the full moon. And she doesn't care because she wants to save her best friend. And the quickest way to get her to safety is to transform. She saves Wednesday and knows that she will have to stay a wolf forever. So here we are at the end, and Tyler has run away, but doesn't know what to do because he's lost and he doesn't have a master and he got rid of his mom. And we have Enid has run away because she's a wolf during the day and during the night, and she can't transform back. And all the students have dispersed and all the sirens are free, Bianca and Gabrielle, because there's no more cult. And it is summertime. By the way, throughout the whole thing, we have given no clarity to the trash kid that was Enid's current boyfriend during this episode. And I think it's because he was a cheater. And we have not addressed that. Remember, Ajax is her old and her ex, the Gorgon, but we have a wolf. We have a wolf that throughout the entire time was cheating. And when they were switched bodies, Wednesday, being the amazing person that she is, found out and was like, yeah, you ain't doing that to my best friend. And we're broken up and you're not, I don't want to see you again. And she does it on the behalf of Enid, and Enid finds out later why and how. And so he's out of the picture. So everybody's leaving the school, and Professor Isidra, the other wolf, she meets Tyler and says, I've got a pack where you don't have to be a master. And he says, leave me alone. You're just trying to be my master. And she said, no, I know that you can do it. You just have to, Isadora Capri, you just have to focus, and you wouldn't be alone because there's a group of us. And he says, how do you know? And she says, my father was a Hyde. So the students are leaving. Enid is gone in a wolf. Morticia, Gomez, and Pugsley, they leave together. And we see Tyler in a car with Professor Capri. And Morticia says, well, come on, we're going to love the summer. And she goes, nope, I got other things I got to do. And she has decided, with Agnes's help, with a blurry picture of where Enid the wolf has last been spotted, she is going to go on a road trip with her uncle Fester, and they're going to find Enid and bring her home. And that's where we leave off on episode 8, This Means Woe. And it really is. We do not leave on a happy note, but why would we? This is Wednesday Addams. We're not all smiles and giggles. Nikita.
Thank you, Jewel. I thought the whole show was brilliant, excellent, kept my attention, kept me laughing, kept me circumspect in certain areas, and really, 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 we get to see who these characters are, each individually. Very few shows do that. A lot of times, shows will leave you with the question at the end, and so why did they do this, and why did they do that, and I don't understand. they answered it all and tied it up neatly so that we can go into the next storyline where the pack is going to save Enid, because she made the ultimate sacrifice and now she's an alpha. And this is an interesting way to do the alpha storyline, by the way, as someone who loves werewolves and vampires and zombies and mummies and everything else. So this idea that the alpha becomes a lone wolf, you know, the alpha runs the pack. The idea that the alpha becomes the lone wolf is very, very interesting. And there has been different variations of werewolves where they've said that if you, you know, turn a werewolf before this, or, you know, the idea that on blue moon or blood moon, you know, that determines whether you're an alpha, or if you change within a certain time, you will not be able to come back. You'll stay a werewolf forever. It's going to be very interesting to see how Wednesday is able to go and save her. And also know that there is something else that has happened at the end of this. Really watch it if you haven't watched it, or if you're going to watch it, or if you've caught some of this and you're like, I'm wondering what's going on. Look at what's going on in the basement. Look at the images that Wednesday was looking at. Ophelia, where is she? She is still here. I think that's an interesting thing. That's also another part of the storyline. Her psychic abilities are super strong, right? And I'm just thinking to myself, this next one, season three, it's going to be pretty amazing, especially if someone else is trying to kill Wednesday, right? What will Wednesday have to do? Because we know that they hunt the alpha. So we know Agnes is going to be there. Enid is going to be there, obviously, because she's a werewolf. Will Tyler be there now that will end up having a pack, if the werewolf instructor is correct? Because her father was also a monster, a Hyde. So she knows about Hyde. But so is her boyfriend. If we all remember, her boyfriend was also a Hyde. You know, and it's kind of weird when he said, I can smell that werewolf on you. So I'm thinking to myself, if that repulses him, why was her boyfriend a Hyde? He was not repulsed by her werewolfness, I suspect. Okay, so I don't know. Is Wednesday in love with him? Is that why she didn't kill him? I am so glad that there's a lot of questions still, like Jewel said, but there was a lot of answers also, which I thought was brilliant. If I was going to be giving, recommendations for what to watch next year, Wednesday, or whenever this comes out, I think season three comes out in 27. I know that they haven't started shooting yet, but it has been renewed, and so that's a beautiful thing. I think that I would say, you know, this would be something to watch. Much like I used to watch the Addams Family and the Munsters when I was a kid. This is something that you and your kids can watch. This show is so good that it has reached every generation. Very few shows do that, by the way, except for Star Trek. Star Trek is the only show that I know, franchise-wise, that has reached every generation. If they do this right, this one will also be like that. And I think that that is a beautiful thing. Thank you so much, Jewel, for giving those summations and breaking it down. And I want to say this. We have technical difficulties. I guess that makes us human. It's how we handle those difficulties. We hope you enjoy the show when you listen to it. I am going to thank Jennifer and give her the mic. And let's hear what Jennifer has to say about Wednesday. Jennifer?
Good afternoon, ladies. Good afternoon. It is good to talk to you about this show. There was a lot. There was a whole lot. I'm still unpacking. It was very good. I do agree. It was very satisfying to see some parts of the storyline get neatly tied off with a bow. Presented to us who have been fans from season one. So it felt very satisfying by the time I got to the end of these episodes. But there are also still some questions. There's still some questions. And knowing that there's a season three coming, I'm hoping that they really do answer some of these questions. But I guess first I wanted to say a little bit about some of the things that I've unwrapped so far, which I admit is not everything, but it's some of the things that I've unwrapped so far from these last four episodes. Gosh, there was so much to unpack. They put so much into this episode. I was trying to pay attention to a lot of the details because I am such a mystery enthusiast or a person who loves to solve the mystery, right? I kept trying to find details, and I just thought that from this first episode, episode 5, I was looking at Principal Dort a little bit more closely, and he says something to Wednesday as she's like asking him about canceling the Day of Remembrance procession and the other festivities that are happening on Dia de los Muertos, which I thought was really neat that they tied that whole real life, you know, real world tradition in with this series. I thought that was really neat. He says, we have a school full of outcasts ready to take him on. He's talking about ready to take on Tyler. And I thought, wait a minute. I thought this was really crazy because I was like, wait a minute. So you expect this school full of teenagers to take on a full grown, very strong, you know, monster, quote unquote monster. And you think it's just going to be fine. It's just going to work out. It's going to magically be okay. Like, what's wrong with you, dude? It just seemed really irresponsible. That was my first impression. But looking back after watching the end, I was like, yeah, he kind of predicted his own death here. Or his own demise. I also noticed in episode 5, that Gomez and Pugsley have a really tender moment over Pugsley trying to deal with the fact that he's lost his pet. And his dad empathizes with him and says, losing your first pet can be hard. And it made me think about when I lost my first pet and how difficult that was for me as a child, and how that can be something that's very relatable to a lot of people who have pets and who've lost pets. And I thought it was a very tender moment. And it ends with them going on the quest to find his lost pet, his lost quote unquote pet or best friend. I also noticed in this episode, upon the second or the third viewing, that in episode 5, there's a scene where Capri is revealing her connection to Hydes. Professor Capri is talking about her ex, you know, her boyfriend and how he passed away, and she's talking about how females are more dominant and stronger than the male Hydes, and how the male Hyde, you know, suffers when he doesn't have a master. And I thought it was just very interesting that the male Hydes and that culture in the Hyde culture, the male Hydes are the ones that are weaker. In you know, in human culture, is the opposite. The men are the stronger ones, not the females, but the males are stronger. So I thought that was neat that there was a switch up, and you kind of see that theme throughout this series where the females are always presented or appear stronger than the males in a lot of instances. And I thought that was important for women and young girls to see that women do have strength, because sometimes in our culture, that's not really prevalent. So I thought that was neat. I thought that was neat as I was noticing it, the next couple of times I was watching it. I thought it was really great in this episode that Enid did decide to get help from their friends, the Nightshades. I thought that was great. I was like, yes, because, you know, Wednesday, she's going to be the lone person trying to solve this whole problem by herself. And sometimes she's successful, but she's always more successful when she has, you know, friends helping her out. And that's really the case in life, is when you have friends helping you out, you tend to do a better job of meeting your goals. And I thought that was great. I was like, yes, we're going to get the Nightshades back together. Even if it was temporary, I thought that was great. Oh, and I almost forgot that I did also enjoy seeing Principal Weems come back on the show. I thought her character was very interesting. I love shapeshifters. I wanted to see her storyline go forward. I hope maybe in the next season they show some more of that. I don't know. I just like the whole idea of beings that can shapeshift, you know. So I thought that was really great. I thought that her coming back as the new spirit guide was good. And hopefully from here on out, Wednesday will be more open to her, you know, from the end of this season on out. I was so glad that we finally learned who the Clockwork Heart boy is. That was something that was left off from the first four episodes. I wanted to know who he was. He didn't have a name. I was like, why introduce us? You know, it made no sense to me to introduce that whole intricate story and not tell us who this guy is and how he ties into it. And we finally find out how he ties into it. And it's great because, you know, we find out there's the connection between him and the patient 1938 and Ann Tyler, and they found out there's a whole family thing going on. It was just so neatly, like I said before, neatly tied together. And that's really sort of satisfying to a person like me who likes to solve mysteries, who likes to see them find answers to the questions. There was so much, and I don't want to go over everything. I guess I'll just mention a little bit at the end of that episode about how Enid all of a sudden wolfs out. I thought that was weird. I'm not that up to speed on werewolf, lore. And I was like, why did that happen? And of course, you know, as these episodes go on, you learn what that's all about. She's an alpha, potentially an alpha. And that's a really big problem to have as a werewolf, to be an alpha, you know, werewolf. And I was like, okay, so I'm learning a little bit more about this. We find out patient 1938 is actually Francois, who is actually also a friend of, or former friend of, Morticia. A lot of this story, as details started unfolding about Francois, about Isaac, about them being siblings, about them, about their backstory, and about how Tyler is connected to that. And it just seems like the connections are all going back to Wednesday's parents' past, which makes sense because that's how this whole series started. This whole series started with delving into the past that Gomez and Morticia had as students at Nevermore Academy. And so it makes sense to me that it tied right back into that, this whole scenario with Tyler and Wednesday Adams, and how both of them have parents who attended Academy who are also friends and who also, you know, had different ties to this whole mystery that's going on with Nevermore Academy and the mysteries that are yet to be unfolded. I love that that Lady Gaga was introduced as a new character. I love new characters on these shows. It's always great to see a new character. A new character always introduces another aspect of the story that you don't otherwise wouldn't be able to see. I love Lady Gaga. I'm a fan. I did not know she was such a great actress until I saw her in one of my favorite anthology shows, which was, and the name is missing me right now, but she did such a great job with that show. And I just want to give her her props for doing a good job here. Also, I want to see more of her. I hope we do get to see one more of her as Rosalind Rotwood. I just think she does this whole horror thing really well. I didn't expect that from her because I only knew her as a music artist at first. So it was great to see her in this show. Let's see. I thought it was interesting in episode 6, and this is as far as I got, as far as like me really delving deeper into the details of this series. In episode 6, I thought it was interesting that, that the reuniting of Francois and her brother Isaac, it happened in a bomb shelter underneath a doghouse. And when they reunite, they talk about something that happened on the 4th of July when she first hided out, which, you know, and I'm trying to co-relate hiding out and wolfing out, because apparently we're all thinking that there's a very common thing going on between hides and werewolves in this series specifically. And her first hiding out was on the 4th of July when her dad, you know, hits her after he finds out that she's been, you know, having this relationship with a normie, which is obviously Dylan, which is, you know, Tyler's father. And they have this tender moment where they reunite and they come up with this plan of how to unleash her. And I thought it was really kind of poetic that they were planning to unleash her while they were hiding out in this doghouse, underneath this doghouse. And I thought that was kind of neat when I looked at it and noticed it, because she is interesting to me that she felt like this, and her brother, not just her and her brother, Francois and Isaac, both felt like that her hide capability was a burden to her. And I thought it wouldn't it be nice if she could be freed from that and just like be a normie, because it seems like that's what she wanted all her life anyway, is to be normal. She really didn't want to be a hide. And, you know, that's why she married a normal person and she tried to have this normal, quote unquote, normal family, you know? So that's almost as far as I got when I got to recap and everything. I thought it was also interesting in episode 6 when Wednesday and Enid switched bodies. And of course, you know, when I first saw the beginning of episode 6, I knew that was off, because I was like, this is not Wednesday Adams. I started thinking then that, is that a body switch going on? And of course, it's revealed later that that's what happens and we find out why. But it just goes to show that my instincts were correct, because I was like, this is definitely not Wednesday. This is definitely Enid in Wednesday's body somehow. And I was like, how did that happen? And, you know, I started thinking that. And of course, we get that whole story unfolds and we find out why and how it happened in episode 6. And I thought that was really great twist, you know, to keep us distracted from the whole thing that was going on with Principal Dork. And I haven't gotten to recap that episode of 7 and 8 yet, but I just thought it was really great. I agree. This whole ending to season 2 was really great and probably worth the wait. I'm still ticked off that they didn't really answer my question about Ophelia Adams. Like, I'm really sort of ticked off that at the end of episode 8, we get this thing where she's in this room locked away in her mother's, you know, house in a dungeon or something. I don't know. It was just like, so we still ain't learned nothing about Ophelia. I'm a little ticked off about that. And then also at the end of episode 8, the freaking Two-Face Raven all of a sudden flies at the screen. Like, what's up with that? If Judy Stonehurst is dead, how is the Two-Face Raven still like out there flying around, what, doing stuff? what? So is Judy Stonehurst really not dead? Is she now a zombie? I don't know. I was just like, y'all answered a lot of questions from the first or four episodes, only to leave us at the end of the eight episode of the seasons with still some answers, some things unanswered, especially concerning Tyler and Wednesday's relationship. I feel like Xavier needs to show up to complete this love triangle, because I'm just like, why is Tyler and Wednesday still so drawn to each other? And it seems like on a spiritual level now, it is not physical. It's something else going on between them. And I want to know why. I want them to explore that or explain that at least. And that would just so fulfill the inner detective that I have inside of me that just wants answers to these questions. I did enjoy the gala. I thought Principal Dort got his just desserts. I thought it was absolutely poetic how it ended for him. It was absolutely superb. It was poetic, the ending for him. And I thought it was great that in the end, Wednesday and her mother do mend their relationship. Wednesday gets her sight back. And I hope that the theme here is that your relationship, it seems like a lot of people were having mother issues in this series. I don't know if y'all noticed that too. A lot of people, Tyler and Wednesday specifically, seem to like bond over their mother issues. And other people had mother issues. Morticia had issues with her mother. It made me think that maybe Hester Frump had issues too, mother issues that she, you know, sort of passed down to her, to Morticia. I don't know. It seems like there's a whole thing about mother issues that I kept seeing recur in the series. And I'm wondering that if that's going to be resolved for Tyler in season three, if his mother issues are going to finally be resolved, maybe in the pack. It's just a lot of answers still left to be found. And I'm looking forward to season three. I've enjoyed this so far. And I pretty much knew I would enjoy it. I've always enjoyed Addams Family as a franchise. And they've added such a great addition with this Wednesday show to the franchise. And I guess that's all I wanted to say. Thank you for letting me, or inviting me, to come and talk about some of this blurry stuff again. Horror. It's horror slash mystery slash adventure. And it's all wonderful for people who love, for us blurs who love this kind of stuff. So yeah. Thanks.
Thanks, Jennifer. I have a feeling we can answer all the questions that you have. This show, pretty much along the way, it doesn't give us complete answers, right? So, but we know about Ophelia, right? Because that was the fear for Wednesday. What we don't know is why she's saying Wednesday should die. Remember, she has a second sight too. She overused her energy. What we don't know is why the mom took her out of the asylum, because remember, Fester was sent there to go check on her, and he was unable to, and the mom took her out of the asylum and has been holding her down there in that dungeon, because she's dangerous. She's dangerous. I think that it's an interesting segue into season three. We see what else is going to happen and how these dynamics happen, and I agree with you about the mother. I think it's all familial, right? You know, the father, the mom, Tyler didn't like his father, didn't respect his father because his father feared him. He thought his mother was deceased. Now his mother's in control of him. You know, who wants their mother to be in control of them? You know, Morticia was trying to control Wednesday, but really, as a mom, it's not really control, is it? It's trying to help. You could see Tyler's mother was trying to help him to not have the life that she has to lead. I think there's a fine line when a parent allows a child to get into adulthood, but these are teenagers. And I think they're just having teenager issues, you know? So we're watching that happening. And I think there's conversations happening in parents' houses right now, or mothers go on, child, I get that. I feel that with my tween, my teen, even my young adult, getting on my nerves. No, not listening, not paying attention. Note how it was when Wednesday found out she wrote those books, right? The grandmother loves Wednesday's books because it's morbid, modeling, just like her. Everything about Wednesday is like her, you know? But she laughed at Morticia, and Morticia was doing a love story, you know? But the funny thing is, and I hope everyone caught it, the mom married a bum too. But really, you know, Wednesday's dad is not, all right? Regardless of what anyone thinks, Wednesday's dad loves his family. And we know that from watching the original Addams Family. We know it's a tight-knit family. We know that they all love each other. I remember last week I said that, you know, that Wednesday's dad had, I said the same thing. I sounded just like her mama. I said that her father didn't have any skills. What I didn't realize, Luis Guzman plays Gomez Addams, the father. Good job. I thought he had no skills, no talent. Turns out he was an outcast, and he had the same exact skills as Uncle Fester and his son, Pugsley, right? I think that we all kind of felt that way, looking at that. And then we realized he gave up his powers, even for his friend. Like, he still considered his friend. That wasn't his friend. You know, his friend was trying to kill him, literally, take his power and kill him, literally what he's doing to his son. And still, Gomez still said, the reason we didn't tell Thing who he was because I thought the goodness in him would go and, you know, was what was left in Thing. My reality is that did nothing about that dude. He was good. He was obsessed with helping his sister, but he's also a mad scientist. Cue the mad scientist Frankenstein music. Another clap for that, by the way. So I think a lot of the questions, if you go back and rewatch it, you'll say, oh, I missed that, or oh, I thought that. I think this franchise will play well for Netflix for a long, long time. So I think that's interesting. Jewel, what do you think as we wrap it up? And thank you so much, Jennifer. As always, thank you for joining us. Thank you for always being willing to speak. And I just appreciate what you bring as a guest coming in and sharing what you perceive. Because, all you know, I wonder many a time what everyone out there thinks. And having you as a guest gives us a guest sphere. Because as a host, we sit down and we talk about it and we go back and forth. We're never going to be the same. I mean, but then sometimes we're like 100, 100, 100. As a matter of fact, let me go ahead and give the shadiest of shadiest. I give this 3 shades, like, off the bat. If I was Ebert, I'd be 2 thumbs up, and this is why. All the things I said before, for the directing, for the editing, for the music, for the dress outfits, you know, for the characters, for the actors and actresses. I think all together, they put together an absolutely remarkable production, and especially because it is something that is taken from the past and generated for the present and still follows the generational rules of this particular show, The Addams Family. It still pretty much has the same exact replica of The Addams Family, with even more of an understanding of the precocious character Wednesday, which we all loved back then, and we all love now. So all of that done, and the soundtrack, 3 shades, 100% from me. Jewel?
3 jewels. Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant. Fantastic. I'm going to agree with Nikita there. And it's for all of it, from casting, which they really put a lot of thought into. Gomez, his name is Gomez Addams, and they looked for a Latina because Gomez has that as an ethnicity, and it was written that way from the 1930s. So this wasn't like changed. So they sought out Jenna Ortega, and what an amazing mom they pair her with. And Catherine Zeta-Jones, phenomenal actress. I'm loving every single cast. Sometimes you think, oh man, I wish they would have had somebody different for this one character, but everything else is great. No, I think every single one was perfect. The belligerent sheriff father, the replacement sheriff now. We have, you know, Bianca as a siren. We have her mom, Gabrielle. Everybody, Ajax, the Gorgon, not quite sure of himself. Everything was brilliant. Enid's character, Agnes's character, brilliant. And then you have the design and the cinematography. I love Tim Burton's creative vision, and I always have. I don't think there are many, in fact, I can't even mention one, but I don't think there would be many that he has done that I thought, man, I really didn't like that. I am quite goth, quite nerdy, quite macabre, huge fan of Edgar Allan Poe, huge fan of Mary Shelley, huge fan of Bram Stoker. So when we have this kind of show about these particular characters and these creatures and these types of mythology for Tim Burton's vision to be thrown onto the screen in this way, it really, they balance each other out very well, very well. And I also like that it wasn't overly gruesome, overly gory. I don't like, I don't like, I don't like gratuity. I really don't like anywhere, but I don't like gratuity for gratuity's sake, because unless you it's some sort of joke, what's the point? You kind of miss the message. If you can't let the art speak for itself and you have to just really chop it up in a grossness, then I've lost it. Maybe you had a point, but I lost it. And this was not that. And you would think, in a show about zombies, you know, insane asylums and hides, you know, witches and all these other things, and people are dying left and right, you would think it would be over the top, and it is not. And there's comic relief everywhere. Absolutely brilliant. And for those that read, I love the homage to all the classics. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love the picturesque skylines of nature. You know, it's all mountains and hills and valleys. When it was fall, it was fall. When it was winter, it was winter. When it was summer, it's summer. It really was beautiful. You have nothing but art on the screen, and I just want, my eyes want more of it. And the gala was no surprise. You think Wednesday is just monochromatic, but when they switch bodies, it was brilliant, down to her being allergic because she just could not help being colorful because Enid is colorful. And the gala was absolutely lovely. I love how Weems dresses up for the occasion and only two people can see her, Morticia and Wednesday, and she still was going to show up fly and looking divine. Everything was brilliant. I loved it. It was wonderful. And the soundtrack was glorious. And the questions that we're left with are intriguing enough to allow us to jump into season three excited. I didn't feel like I was left empty. I felt like those storylines have tied themselves up really, really well. I feel like the ones to come will give us better, give us another group of stories. So I'm excited for the new set of little episodes coming. And I feel like this has been a bunch of little anthologies in and of itself, you know, and that has been great. So three diamonds, three jewels, in our rating system, and that gives us a complete total 100% with three Shay, three diamonds. I'm loving it. It has been wonderful. Nikita.
Thank you, Jewel. Thank you. So three diamonds, three jewels. Perfect. I hope everyone understands that Gomez in the original Addams Family talked in Spanish. So, besides John Astin was the first Gomez, right? And then it was Raul Julia. And now we have Luis Guzman. So I hope no one was confused that that's who his character is, by the way. Although John Astin wasn't Latino, if you look at the comics, you knew that's what it was going to be. And that's why he speaks Spanish and things like that. But he's a normie. I mean, he's not a normie. I'm kidding. He's not a normie. I was going to say, lo siento. No, he's not a normie. And so, you know, but he doesn't have power because we know now it was taken from him. And he's such a good-natured guy, but he loves his wife. He loves his family. And look at the emotion he showed when his son was going to be lost. Look, he knows his daughter can take care of herself, that she's independent like her mother and strong like her mother. So he was like, save Pugsley to mom and to daughter, you know, and mom loves him. That kind of love, that's true, you know, they may be an outsider everywhere else, but they are insiders in their home. They are one. They are a unit. They are a family. And I thought that was really beautiful and beautifully shown. So thank you all for showing up this Saturday. And I want to say, you know, I think this shows, and also the show today, and we hope you listen to it. It will have some technical difficulties, and we apologize about that. But life is not perfect. That's what the show, I think, shows. Life is not perfect. We are imperfect. But when we work together and when we respect one another and respect each other's differences and our sameness and our uniqueness, we can become powerful. At the end, they became a pack. And, you know, Tyler's going to go find his pack, you know, and is Nevermore closed, is Nevermore gone. That remains a question. That remains a question. But what I do believe is that we are more alike than we are different. And I believe that that's what this show shows. You know, and I also believe that even the little boys, when Eugene, who is played by Musa Mustafa, said, if I had treated Pugsley right, we would have been friends and this wouldn't have happened. And he reaches out. That's what all kids, you know, they fight and they have bullies and they have, you know, I don't want to hang out with him because everybody thinks they're weird. You know, you're an outsider, literally an outcast. And you think someone is weird in the outcast community. I've always find that hysterical that we can always find something wrong with someone. That's some judgy, by the way. And they displayed this really well. And so I am glad. Can't wait for season 3. Hope you all catch us next week. Can't wait for you all to catch us next week. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, spoilers, if you haven't watched it, please watch it. And if you don't care about spoilers, please listen and let us know. And we hope to see you next week. Be safe, because fall has fallen. August has left and September has come in. And September is moving fast and it's going to be cold soon. So get yourself a hot coffee or, you know, I don't know, milk, chocolate, whatever thing you drink in a cup, and sit down and watch Wednesday. Watch all the seasons of Wednesday. Enjoy it. Watch it with your kids. Watch it with your friends. You know, just enjoy it. I think it's a really good show. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye.